John Walden, again. Hebrews chapter 4 for our studies now in the book of Hebrews. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, that is, the Jews in the Old Testament. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now the Lord is offering rest, as we saw in the last chapter, in chapter 3. God is offering rest. And some of these people did not enter into rest because of unbelief. In Matthew 11:28, the Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now this is rest of conscience. Your conscience troubles you because of the sins you committed. Well, it might. But when you trust the Lord Jesus and you know that his precious blood has cleansed you from sin, and you know that God has taken away that wicked path, then you have rest of conscience. Your conscience no longer can accuse you because you can say, well, the Word of God tells me that my sins are put away. But the next verse, Matthew 11:29, says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls." Now this is the rest of soul, the rest of heart. This is the peacefulness that comes when we trust God. And there's many a Christian who has his sins forgiven, but he does not have the load of his troubles taken away. He has not trusted God about these individual matters. Now in verse 2 of our chapter, we're told, "Unto us was the gospel preached." Now the word gospel means good news. In the Old Testament, the good news took various forms. To Abraham, it was the good news that a son was to be born who would be a blessing to the whole world. In the New Testament, the gospel is defined as, in 1 Corinthians 15, as this: Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And so the gospel is the good news that the Lord Jesus suffered in our place and rose again to take away our sins. Now the gospel is not a work to be done, as an old writer has put it, but a word to be believed about a work that is done. Let me say that again. The gospel is not a work to be done, but a word to believe about a work that is done. And so he tells us that the word of God, did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. And that's what you and I are expected to do. When you hear the word of God, you mix it with faith. In other words, you supply the faith. You believe God. You say, well, God says this, and I believe him. And trusting the Lord brings us into rest. Now, we which have believed, verse 3 says, do enter into rest. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. God finished the work of creation. The Lord Jesus Christ finished the work of redemption. The Holy Spirit of God is completing the work of sanctification, setting us apart to God. Now what God did, he did well. And you and I don't want to insult the Lord Jesus by adding anything to his finished work. We want to take salvation as a completed, finished thing, and accepting the Lord Jesus as our Savior, rest on what he's done. But you see, some of these people that he's referring to here in the Old Testament did not enter in. Verse 6 says, they entered not in because of unbelief. They heard, yes. Verse 7 says they heard. And so he says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Perhaps someone is listening just now who has never trusted the Lord Jesus. You can harden your heart by saying, oh, there's nothing to that. That's for old women and children. And you can turn away and reject the Lord Jesus. But you're dooming your own soul by turning away from the only Savior that God has for us. And Christians harden their hearts sometimes because we will not trust God about our daily care. This was the story of the children of Israel in the Old Testament. Now verse 8 says, if Jesus, in the margin of your Bible says Joshua, Joshua is the Hebrew spelling, Jesus is the Greek spelling, the New Testament spelling, If Joshua, in the Old Testament, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. So God wants to give us rest. Those of us who trust him know that rest now in a measure, and when the Savior comes back again and takes us home, then we'll have perpetual, eternal rest. Some of you to whom I'm speaking may be very weary. You're not well, you're getting up in years. Oh, brother and sister, there's a wonderful rest ahead for the people of God. Now he goes on to tell us that if we enter into his rest, we'll cease from our own works as God did from his. Now that doesn't mean that we won't do anything for the Lord, but it means that we won't be trying to do something for salvation or trying to do something to make ourselves more acceptable to God, but that we will depend upon what he has done. Now in verse 12, he turns to the Word of God because, after all, this business of faith in God means that we must have a basis for our faith in the infallible Word of God. So he says the Word of God is quick and powerful. Quick means living. Powerful means that it's active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now the Word of God goes right down into our hearts. God knows our thoughts, and when you read the Bible, just like looking in a mirror tells you about the dirt on your face, looking into the Word of God will just lay your heart bare. That's why a good many people will not read the Bible. It makes them too uncomfortable. But you do it. You turn to it, and you let the Lord lay your soul and spirit bare and show you just exactly what the thoughts and intents of your heart really are. Now he says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. When God came into the Garden of Eden after Adam's fall, Adam was so uncomfortable that he went and hid himself among the trees. And even we as believers sometimes hide ourselves from God, and we will not open our hearts to the Word of God. We get uncomfortable over reading it, and so we just neglect it. Well, turn back to it and let the Lord use it to search out the things in your heart that are not right. Because the next verse tells us, seeing then that we have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus is the one who has come to be our intercessor, to be the go-between between God and us and between us and God. Now, when you read the word priest in the book of Hebrews, don't think of a priest in modern terms, but think of the Old Testament Jewish priests. The people could not draw near to God except that they came through the high priest, Aaron. Well, now the Lord Jesus is our high priest, and he has not gone into the tabernacle or into the temple, but it says he has passed into the heavens, or literally through the heavens. He's gone right to the throne of God. And we have a representative in God's presence. Every one of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior have a representative there who is called Jesus, the Son of God. Now, Jesus is his human name. Son of God tells us that he is the eternal Son, that he is God himself. So the Lord Jesus is both man and God. Now, he says, since we have all this, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That is, the high priest that we know knows exactly how we feel. He knows all our weaknesses. And the reason is that he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now when I am tempted, there is something in my spirit, there's something in my being that responds to sin. There's something in yours. Even though we may find sin repulsive, we may say, oh, I don't want to do that thing. Yet you know that inside of you is something that responds to temptation. Now, our Lord Jesus did not have that. He was without sin. He never responded to temptation. He was perfect. And yet he knows how you feel. He knows how you're tempted. Now, because we have a high priest like this, he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now remember that grace means God's kindness that we do not deserve. You don't need to feel worthy. You just come because you know I need grace. Therefore, come boldly under the throne of grace. The word boldly literally means speaking freely. Let's come and just say what's on our hearts, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, we need mercy for our sins. And the Lord Jesus, who is the accepted one, is able to give us mercy because he loved us and died for us, died in our place to put away our sins. So we can come to the throne of grace and we can get mercy because of what we've done that's wrong. And then we can find grace to help in time of need. Remember, it's not a matter of deserving it. You can't deserve grace. Grace is free. But we can find grace to help in time of need. We can draw near to God because of the accepted one. Now, I have no worth of my own. I can't say, Father, please do this for me because I'm John Walden. Please do this for me because I'm so good and so worthy. I can't do that. You can't do that either. But I can come and say, Father, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus. He died for me and rose again. He lives for me there at the right hand of God. He's my high priest. He's my intercessor. And I come and I expect blessing for his sake. Now, if you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus, you ought to come to God through the Savior. You ought to receive Christ as your Savior. You ought to believe in him. And if you have trusted him, you ought to learn to believe him about every detail of your life. You ought to bring all your problems to him. And you and I ought to learn day by day to just to come boldly to the throne of grace in prayer, telling God everything. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for thy dear Son. We thank thee for opening a door into thy very presence through him, that he himself is the door. And now we ask thy blessing on those who have heard thy word and thy care for each one in our Savior's precious name. Amen.